This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island. From the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you.
So, what is your name?
My name is Chi Miyagi. My nickname is Sunshine.
Oh, you are Chi Miyagi.
Yes.
Oh, earlier I talked to the translator, I believe it was.
Yeah. I know this mobile belongs to her.
Okay, so I will be talking to Suzuyu Takasato and Chi Miyagi.
Yes.
All right, let me start the introduction.
Okay.
This is Mike Kim. I'm producer with the People Speak, and we have some very special guests today. Suzuyu Takasato and Chi Miyagi, who have been touring the United States, representing a group, various groups from Okinawa, Japan, speaking out against the United States military presence, which seems to incur a lot of violence against the Okinawan residents. So, hello, Chi and Suzuya. How are you?
How are you? How are you?
And where are you right now, Suzuya and Chi?
Now we are at University of San Francisco.
You are at the University of San Francisco, and what did you do there today?
We are going to hold Okinawa Forum from 5:30 to 8 o'clock.
5:30 to 8 o'clock. Well, right now it's 5:15.
First, they are going to show a movie of Okinawa. DVD Okinawa.
Will the film on Okinawa give the historical perspective of Okinawa since World War II?
Yeah. We had the Battle of Okinawa. A quarter of Okinawan people got killed during the Battle of Okinawa. Like other Okinawans, I lost my grandparents, uncles, and aunts.
Well, you know, I think we should let you each speak about yourself. So, Chi Miyagi, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm an English teacher of high school in Okinawa, and also I'm a member of Henoko Group, the kayak team, which protesting against the new marine air base in Henoko, Ola Bay, to protect dugongs, sea turtles, and wildlife there.
Would you let Suzuya Takasato tell us a little bit about herself?
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Suzuya. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your background?
Oh, I see. I'm Suzuya Takasato. I'm from Okinawa. And at present, I am co-chair of All Okinawa Council. At the same time, I'm co-chair of Okinawa Women Act Against Military Violence. In my previous career, I served 4 terms, means that 16 years, as a member of Naha City Assembly. Naha City is the capital city of Okinawa. And before that, I worked as a social worker for 11 years. So actually, I'm very much involved with women's, supporting women's problem, and then especially women who have been victimized by the sexual violence or domestic violence, and so those are my professional fields.
Suzuya, Chi mentioned that she lost some grandparents during World War II. Did you lose anybody?
Oh yes, my uncle, my mother's brother, who was in the midst of battle, And you know, he was besides the, you know, prefectural governor at that time. So they have to commit suicide.
Yes.
And you... also, I have other two, other father's side, uncle and my aunt.
You know, Chi mentioned that at the University of San Francisco, they are showing a historical perspective of Okinawa. And part of that perspective, I guess, we'll talk about how the Japanese wanted the Okinawans to kill themselves, and they told them that the Americans would rape and kill them, and it would be better for them to commit suicide. And I think it's quite interesting now, how many years later, over 50, 60 years later,
73 years,
the complaint is against the American military perpetrating acts of crime and violence against the people of Okinawa. It's quite, what would you call that, ironic?
Yes, ironic. And you know, this is really, for 72 years, almost, you know, near century, right after the Pacific War ended, because U.S. troops landed to Okinawa a year before the war ended. So, as soon as they landed to Okinawa, it took 3 months, very severe battle, but many soldiers start raping women.
The American soldiers were raping the Okinawan women.
Yes, yes, yes.
And children?
Children, even including, you know, 9 month infant.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea. You know, this is not part of American history. They do not teach this.
Yeah, that's in a way forgotten history. And then, you know, Okinawa has been used in a way to protect mainland Japan, so that at the end of the Pacific War, actually, you know, 500,000 U.S. soldiers were in Okinawa.
Suzuya, as I understand it, in 1972, the USA gave Okinawa back to Japan.
Yes, yes, yes.
And at that time, you know, there were all the wars the United States has been through. Were the troops from the Vietnam era, were they sent to Okinawa for their leave? Were they? Is that where they were sent?
You mean in 1972, when the reversion, Okinawa returned to mainland Japan, but up to that year, actually 27 years, we were completely under U.S. military occupation, and even we are using dollars.
And let's put that into perspective. When you say that the United States used the Okinawa as a military base, I guess, primarily, what did that mean for the people of Okinawa? You know, because as I understand it, where the United States military goes, also goes prostitution, also goes a lot of problems between the military and the civilians. The businesses of that area come to depend upon the military for business as well, right?
That's true. But, you know, the major part of Okinawan Island has been taken for the use of U.S. military bases, you know. And you know, the villages and the towns and even the people's graves, and the village, you know, those are just covered with the concrete, and they made a huge U.S. military base. You may have heard Kadena Air Base. It's the biggest Air Force base in the Southeast Asia. Then, you know, the people have to live along the fence side by side, and our life was so difficult. So in a way, you know, U.S. administration to get many workers for the military, in a way, even they did not allow, you know, the pig farm business, so that worker can be taken to the U.S. military. So there are many people, because we are, in a way, we have to survive. And then, you know, the, all this social structures has been destroyed for the war. So many people have to go and be employed by U.S. with very little, you know, salary, because Okinawan gets the lowest salary compared to even other people. So that was the reality. And not only Okinawa, I think. It's even in the Philippines and, you know, Korea and other Vietnams in Southeast Asia countries where the U.S., huge U.S. military bases exist. People have to, in a way, economically depend on the base.
Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up a little bit. You mentioned during the invasion of Okinawa, all of those women who were attacked. Now, is there any documentation, a book, or something statistically mentioning how many females were victimized? Do you have a number?
Yes. We cannot show number, but we worked on the chronology, since the 1945 April till 2016 May. So 71 years we have made the chronology and post-war U.S. military crimes against women in Okinawa, and it includes more than 700 cases actually, but it is really the tip of iceberg.
Yes, because most of the crimes are not reported.
Besides, up to 1972, we didn't have any official data. Because, you know, even the crimes happen, that case are taken to the military court with the English, you know, using. And, you know, Okinawan people cannot be sure where the perpetrator, even they get a certain sentence, but they are just sent back to the United States. We don't know where they are, and really, the, you know, the sentence has been really taken.
For the most part, the United States military seems to cover it up, seems to give a very lenient sentence or punishment to the perpetrator, and that is my impression of it. And I must say, though, you know, here in the United States, rape against females here is very big as well. And they say that for every one rape, 20 go unreported. And I can imagine in Okinawa, where there must be a great deal of shame attached to this crime, many Japanese females or women would not report it.
That's true. That's why it's very, you know, very ironic, because some perpetrators, even on the court, they themselves witnessed that they knew that Japanese women will never make a report, so that, you know, what they have done will not be found out. So they had that kind of confidence. So the attitude has been passed down.
And
sorry.
It's all right, Suzuya. I hope you're okay. I know it's been must be very taxing for you to be going all over the place giving these speeches. But I did my research on both of you, and I found articles in which you were active. And I remember reading particularly about you, Takasato, Suzuya Takasato, who I'm talking to right now. By the way, if you're just joining us on this interview, I'm speaking to Chi Miyagi and Suzuya Takasato, who are here part of a delegation representing women in Japan, Okinawa specifically, who are here in the United States on tour talking about the military violence against women in Okinawa. Now, Suzuya, when I did my research on you, I came across a story where indeed it talked about you as a social worker you came across a young woman only 20 years old who had entered a life of prostitution because at that age she had been raped, and it degraded her life. It made her feel very less than a human, it would seem. And that seems to be a typical pattern.
Yeah, that's very true. Even during Vietnam War time, you know, if a woman were raped, and there's no way to find a way to live, so she will end up as a prostitute.
So even though she's innocent, that she was not, enticing a man to do that, she would be labeled, I guess, unworthy of marriage, unworthy of working in a good social position or a job.
Yeah.
And she would be shunned by the business people, by, I guess, society in general, right?
Pardon?
She would be shunned. She would be avoided by the most, like maybe her family, and as well as her peers.
Yeah, quietly, she might transfer to other city to live. So her whole life will be changed.
Now, Suzuya, we did not even mention the other problems that comes with the military being based in Okinawa, and that is the air pollution, the noise pollution, the accidents, and the other crimes. I mean, there's petty crimes, I guess theft, assault.
And, you know, the noise pollution is so severe, so great. So now, in you know, this continuously occurring and never stop. So even you know, the one Kadena Air Base, it produces tremendous noise. So now it's...
And where does the noise come from? Helicopters, jets, what?
From especially from the Kadena Air Base, it's a U.S. Air Base, and it's mostly the jet attacking plane. Then, you know, the Stemma Air Station, it's a home for the Osprey. Do you know Osprey? It's bigger than an ordinary helicopter. And now in 2012, August, it was 24 Osprey were transferred to Stemma. And that makes tremendous noise, but also very low, you know, even, you know, it affects those who have heart disease. You know, it really affects to heart, to their health, people's health. Now it's Osprey. All Okinawa people are really against transferring this Osprey to Okinawa. But, you know, Japanese government and the U.S. government, they just agreed and they are using Okinawa for the, you know, military practices.
I also read that one of the helicopters crashed into a structure, I believe, and that is also a concern of the people of Okinawa, that they may be, they may actually become a victim of that.
Yeah, because you see, always U.S. and Japanese government promise that Australia is safe and, you know, but just one and a half years later, this is December 13th, you know, Osprey crashed into the ocean nearby the village, in only the 400 meters away from the housing area. Then three injured and one died, but, you know, U.S. military never disclosed the fact. And also in August, there is a Osprey from deployed from Okinawa, crashed in Australia. So within, you know, such a long, short period of time, two Osprey crashed, means that we are living under such a danger.
Is there also waste pollution? Is there oil spill? Is there pollution of the, you know, the, I guess a lot of fishing? Isn't there a lot of fishing industry in Okinawa?
That, you know, the oil is good of oil. Once, you know, the drinking water well, it was burning because, you know, the the pipe under underground pipe using for the U.S. military. They were they it leaked. Then you know the fuel just came under line of the water. Then you know the well was with fire, and not only that, but also so many contaminated land. Now some part has been returned to Okinawa, but those are very much contaminated. And then after, although, but you know, the status of forces agreement under Article 4, it doesn't demand U.S. military to clean up, actually. But, you know, returned land is very much contaminated. And even, you know, subject land, supposed to be the subject ground for young people, but it was all contaminated, and we found more than 120 drum pans with filled with chemical poison. So those places are now we cannot use as subject ground. Not only that, there are several places of this, and even during Vietnam wartime, after U.S. military used northern part of our Okinawa land for the experimental site for Agent Orange. Do you know that?
You mean that they actually used parts of Okinawa to test weapons?
Yes, test. And they tested, and they wanted to know how many hours needed after, you know, this Agent Orange poured. From the plane.
Did they test the Agent Orange on people in Okinawa?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I thought, oh my goodness, you mean they actually, without the knowledge of the village, of the people living there, they just sprayed it on the people?
That's not happened. We didn't know. We didn't know that the Agent Orange was tested because it was hidden. But according to some other, you know, former soldier, his testimony was so clear that he was never sent to Vietnam war field, but he was handling this Agent Orange in Okinawa, and he was affected, his health was very much affected, so even he made a file to U.S. military. But, you know, northern part of land, it's a very beautiful forest and, you know, very rich in, life creature diversity. But we found out, and, you know, the Agent Orange was experimenting. And that, commander of that time witnessed that since the temperature is very similar to Vietnam, and aside, Okinawa was under U.S. military control, and it's away from, Tokyo government. So they experimented. They just used.
Oh, my goodness. You know, Suzuya, Is there any conflict between the businesses that rely upon the military? You know, Okinawan businessmen who maybe have restaurants, mm-hmm. entertainment yeah. clubs. Are they against your protests against the United States military?
There are times when, you know, U.S. try to control Okinawa people, because when there is a demonstration against the U.S. military crime, and then the U.S. took, you know, regulation that all soldiers with curfew, then they cannot go out from the military base. Then the, you know, owner of the restaurant, they you know, if they don't have any customer, they are in very much in need. So many restaurant owners, even, you know, were very angry toward the people who made the demonstration. In that way, actually, U.S. military was trying to Okinawan own Okinawan people to conflict to each other. So that's in a way measure they were using. But yes, after the reversion, our economy of Okinawa prefecture, 25% are very much dependent on base economy. But now, it's no longer, we are depending on that U.S. military base economy. It's only 5% are from U.S. military presence. But if the land will return to Okinawa, it could be developed more economically and more peaceful life, because without any pollution of the air. But please let me say why we are here this time to San Francisco. Did you know APALA, Asian Pacific American Labor Alliance? Do you know that?
I've heard of them, yes.
Yeah. They had the 25th anniversary convention held in Los Angeles, and we were invited because 2 years ago, this APALA passed a resolution to support Okinawa people who are really against the new construction of new military base at the beautiful Ola Bay. Because dugong, like a manatee, it's a dugong inhabits in that area, and we don't want to destroy our, precious nature. So we are for 20 years really stood up and against the construction of new military base in Hanoko. We don't want any expansion of U.S. military. So this time, we came to talk to American people for your understanding, and we really want your support that people of Okinawa are really refusing. We want the cancellation of the plan to construct new Marine Corps Air Base at Hanoko.
Suzuya, what happened to the plan for the American military to move to Guam? I thought they were going to remove. Yeah. Did that ever happen?
Yeah, that was, U.S. Military realignment in 2005. U.S. and Japanese government agreed that because, they acknowledged the burden of Okinawa people for over 60 years, so they agreed to reduce the burden of Okinawa people. And they said, they promised that to transfer 8,000 U.S. Marines from Okinawa to Guam and 9,000 U.S. Military dependents and their family will be transferred to Guam. But that's had the condition with a very, very funny condition that to transfer 8,000 to Guam, this new U.S. military base at Hanoko should be completed by 2014. And in the cost for the facilities which will be built in Guam will be Japan's responsibility. But this plan, actually, it's not for the sake of Okinawa people. It's not the will of Okinawa people. We are really against, no new base in Okinawa. But they were saying transferring 8,000, and we have to accept the construction. So that's a very contradiction.
So actually, it seems like, well, first of all, how are you being received by Americans? Are they shocked by all this?
Oh, yeah.
They are shocked by what has been going on for 73 years or 74 years.
Yeah.
And what do they say to you? if you're going to the California, are you also going to New York?
Yeah.
And so what has been the reaction so far?
Well, actually, opera passed the resolution at this 25th anniversary convention to support of what we are really requesting, demanding, the cancellation of plan to construct the new Marine Corps
So how can Americans who are listening to you now, what should they do? Yeah. They should contact their Congress, their Senate?
Yeah, we have been visiting several Congress people, and then even, you know...
Specifically, what Congress people do you remember, or what senators you have knocked, doors you have knocked on and have met you? Which ones have met?
Actually, our delegation, it is not the first delegation. Even within several years, we have been sending delegations to Washington, but this time we felt that the local people in San Francisco, if they support us, then they can accompany us to have a meeting with the Congress people's office.
Well, San Francisco is Nancy Pelosi, right? She's the Did she open her door to you guys? Did she say?
Yeah.
She did.
Pelosi, we did. We met her executive aide yesterday. We could visit, and also.
And what happened there? What did she say to you?
Well, actually, since it's aide, she heard us very very well. Then I hope she will make a report. But we also went to. Harris.
Oh, okay, Harris.
Yeah, Harris. Yes. Kamala Harris.
Ah, yes. Senator Kamala D. Harris.
Yes. Yesterday, we could visit her office in San Francisco, and we met executive assistant, and it took about an hour, and we submitted so many materials, and I hope we will make contact again. And At our meeting, at that very moment, we heard that there is a court trial. Have you heard that Okinawa is filing a lawsuit against the U.S. government, especially the defense minister? Before it was the Rumsfeld, but now it's Mattis. It's about the dugong. Dugong inhabit in Ola Bay, where the new construction are planned. But how come United States, you have a very good your own law? But it's a national protection of national heritage. Do you know this?
Yes.
Yeah. And we are suing because since it's a new military base, it's completely for the sake of U.S. military. Means that, you know, national law should be applied even to foreign soil if it's U.S. military is the only person who are using that. And this yesterday, and the lawsuit, actually the second stage, it was just dismissed. But yesterday, that dismissal was recovered, and then it's going to will we continue this lawsuit?
Let me just interrupt you here. I'm talking to Suzuya.
Suzuya
Takasato and Chi Miyagi. We haven't heard much from Chi lately, but we are talking to them. They're part of a delegation to the United States, part of many past delegations, and they're trying to bring awareness of new military bases being built in Okinawa, which they are against. They're appealing to the American people to please contact their representatives and support the stopping of these military bases being built there. And I guess in general, you do not want the military there at all, do you?
Actually, at land, we don't want. Everything should be returned to U.S. But
so you want the the entire military forces to leave Okinawa?
Yes.
I don't blame you. To tell you the truth, I don't. And you know, as an American, I am ashamed. I am ashamed that our government allows its military to do what it has been doing for over 70 years there. It's just, it is shameful. It is criminal.
Yeah.
Did you know, Suzuya, that we've had on a filmmaker, one of the technical advisors, her name was Susan Avila. She was an advisor on a film called The Invisible War, and it was nominated for an Academy Award. And it delineated the problem of rape within the United States military. Yeah. In other words, we have a large number of rapes inside of our military. Our military men are raping other men and other females who are fellow soldiers. So it doesn't surprise me that when they're they're going to rape each other, they will, if they have the chance, rape the civilians where they are stationed.
Yes.
This is a bad situation.
I saw that Invisible War.
You saw that film.
I was very, very moved. And I really felt that, you know, U.S. military violence against women in the military is very, very rooted in the, you know, a long time. But U.S. military in official data, it doesn't cover, you know, the rape case in the other soil, civilians.
Yes, they do. Actually, the military discourages rape being reported within the military. So I can imagine it being a much more bigger scandal if it involves civilians. They would not want that either, because that actually would touch off a conflict. But which brings me to my another question. What is the government of Japan's position on all of this? I know that the government of Japan has been outraged at the numerous rapes. I believe the total is at least 200 since 1972. Over 200 females have been sexually assaulted in Okinawa. And
the 200, it's more than that.
More than that.
Yes.
And what is the government of Japan? I know they're outraged when that happens, but what can they do? Why don't they tell the United States, enough is enough, you must leave?
You know, what we really want was reduce the number, but they, you know, two governments, whenever they... you know, the very severe incident happened, they make very quickly apology, and then they make a new, you know, they will discipline soldiers, and they make maybe one week or 2 weeks of, you know, quiet time for soldiers.
Okay, quiet time. You mean they put a curfew? They don't allow the soldiers out.
Yeah.
For maybe 24 hours or something.
Yeah.
And they think that's going to solve the problem.
That doesn't solve anything. We know by experience.
So, why do you think that is? Why do you think the government of Japan, do you think that it's because the United States controls Japan?
Yeah, but very sorry to say, the fact is that the Japanese government so depend on U.S. military presence, and they feel this security treaty between two governments is very, very important as a national interest. And then, so they are trying to cover up what's happening in Okinawa.
Suzuya, you know,
they don't reduce even the size of a military bases, rather expand, rather increase in number.
Suzuya, don't you find it interesting now that all the talk in the news is about the threat of North Korea against Japan?
Yeah.
But in reality, the threat is from the United States military against the people of Okinawa.
Yeah,
the North Koreans are not building bases in Okinawa. Yeah. The North Koreans are not abusing the people.
North Korea. Sorry to say, but threat is not North Korea. The threat is the United States.
I agree with you 100%. And have you brought this up to the people of the United States? Because the people of the United States are so controlled by the media, what the media says.
Yes, yes.
You know, 24/7, they're always talking about Kim Jong-un. He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's going to attack us.
Yeah.
And it makes them afraid. They don't understand the reality. And this is a reality check, your tour. And you know, that film that they're showing, I hope they're very comprehensive and show them that the years of abuse, the years of abuse that the Okinawan people have endured is just tremendous. And it should be stopped. It should be stopped.
So we really don't want new military base expansion. And it's also violate the environment.
Suzuya, I must ask you, have you guys done anything more forceful? In other words, have you guys attempted hunger strikes? Have you attempted to handcuff yourself to a military base fence? Have you stood in front of the military base and laid down in front of a truck so that they cannot leave? Have you done anything more?
I'm sorry to say, that's what we are doing right now, every day. In front of, the military gate, because, you know, the construction truck comes in every day. So for 2-3 years, I myself go to the gate, the construction truck get in, which we are trying to stop this truck. So many people on sitting protest right now, and then even we have done so many protest movements, and then even this August 12th, we got Prefecture Lari, 45,000 people gathered to say, the cancellation of the construction. And also, we send our delegation to UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, and we made, because, even the reporter, even our leader has been arrested and put in, not prison, but before prison.
Jail.
Even they kept for five months before the official court starts. So we are very much treated, our human rights are violated. Even our speech, freedom of speech rights has been violated. So we send representative to UN and make a speech there. And we have been doing all the means we can find.
Now, what was the UN's response to your delegation and the speech there? Was there a standing ovation? Was there a call for action?
Yes, standing ovation. And also, even the, special rapporteur of UN Human Rights Commission, special rapporteur on freedom of speech. He is a professor at the university in Los Angeles. He made a very good report back to Human Rights Commission.
Was this Richard Falk? Was this Professor Richard?
The Professor David Kay.
David Kay. We may have to have him on to speak about this.
Yes, yes. Because he mentioned that what's happening in Okinawa is really the violation of human rights.
It is.
And the violation of people's right of freedom of speech. Even the reporter, local reporter, he was rejected by the defense force worker or riot police. And I myself, even at the sitting protest, there are many old people, 88 years old, even 90 years old men. So including those old people, because they feel it's enough that we have went through, the severe World War II and the land battle, 3 months land battle, and they lost their families. And, you know, so
I must ask you, when you do these protests with that group of people, who is the who arrests you? Is it the military police or is it the Japanese police or?
Japanese police arrest, and because, you know, on the fence, it's under the status of post-forces agreement. And then inside the fence, the gate, military hired guard, military police are standing inside, and the Japanese police are standing outside. And when we try to get in to the base, and then people are taken, arrested by the military police, and according to the law, they will be handed to Japanese police, and then now jurisdiction will be taken by Japanese court.
Oh my! I hope they do not hurt you. I hope they are not rough with you.
We have hurt, and so my back or my arm was twisted, and sometimes many people have to go to see doctor.
How old are you, if I may ask, Suzuya?
I'm 77.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm 77, and I'm still standing.
You would think they would show more respect towards elderly people.
Yeah.
That is not right. I mean, and it is a tribute to your courage. And Chi as well. Oh, my gosh, we forgot all about Chi. Is Chi listening?
Yeah, she is almost 60.
Oh, my goodness. You know, both of you are doing such a wonderful job. I want to thank you. You know, you are very well-spoken. And I like that you are very forceful, because, and you must have great courage. You must have great courage to do what you're doing, because you realize you're taking on, I guess, the Japanese government. You're taking on the American government.
Yes.
You realize there's not, and I ask all the people that come on the show, you realize that you do not really have much of a chance. But why do you do it?
Why I do that? Because I really feel that, militarism or military soldiers should not be sent to Okinawa. And not on Okinawa, but for Seoul. U.S. military, U.S. has more than 800 U.S. bases outside the U.S. And they're sending young soldiers. I myself feel very, through my experience in Okinawa as a social worker, even, American soldiers, they were very much war experience really destroyed them. So they are really in pain and then threat, fear. So, during Vietnam wartime, Okinawan women, 2 to 4 women a year, they were stung to death. But why these soldiers have done that, those crimes? It's because their experience in jungle, in Vietnam War, and, they have to shoot the enemy But I myself feel that they, in deep in themselves, have some, you know, very contradictory feeling. Then, I don't know, it says PTSD, but so even young people should not be trained to become soldier. Only they are good in fireman or, you know, forest ranger, or to be the, you know, rescue for the disaster.
So Suzuya, actually you are a peace activist. You are a peace you are against war. And I guess Chi, are you also a peace activist?
Yes, I am.
And do you guys also are you guys also active in the Hiroshima and Nagasaki demonstrations?
Yes, you know Hiroshima and Nagasaki, when the atomic bomb was bombed in August 6th in Hiroshima and the 9th in Nagasaki, actually Okinawa whole land has been took 3 months battle, and then in Nagasaki after the plane bombed atomic bomb to Nagasaki, because the crowd was so thick and they don't know where to bomb, and because they couldn't find where, so their plane fuel they needed to add fuel somewhere, and they landed to Iejima Island in Okinawa, because Okinawa has been already taken by U.S. And so they refuel. Then they went to work to Tenya. So actually, atomic bomb to atomic bomb, but Okinawa war experience is in a way considered people's suffering, and then Okinawa in a way served to bomb. Atomic bomb to Nagasaki.
I want to thank you, Suzuya, and also Chi for speaking to us. Chi, we didn't.
Chi, because she has to speak at the meeting.
Oh, okay. So, well, I want to tell her thank you as well. I've been speaking to Suzuya Tagasato and Chi Miyagi for a little bit about their delegation here to the United States, speaking to Americans and encouraging their support, trying to stop the U.S. military base building and presence in Okinawa. And this is Mike Kim with the People Speak radio show here on BBS Radio Network. Chi and Suzuya, perhaps we can have you back on later sometime. When does your tour conclude? When does your tour conclude?
This is our last day in San Francisco, and tomorrow we will be back.
Where were you? Oh, you were going back to Okinawa?
Yes, directly.
Oh, okay. And what? And again, is there a website or anything you would like to publicize for our audience to go to?
Yes. Is there? And can we find your website then here? What your program is?
We are the People Speak Radio on bbsradio.com. I will send you that information in an email.
Okay,
and you can send me back the information.
Yes.
A picture, and you know, we'll headline it and we'll put it up there so everybody who listens to this show can go and support you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Suzuya. Yeah. Nice talking to you. And good luck and a safe journey home.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.